turned in their permission slips for the big class trip that we're all going on very soon. I hope so. I'm your headmaster, Alex.
Oi, wait. We're going on a trip. We're going to go see far. We're going to get buckled up because it's going to be a bummy ride. I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And you are listening to Deadly Cast, a podcast about sci-fi's Deadly Class. We're going to be talking about the latest episode of the show, Sudade.
That's about nice. Did I confidently said.
Thank you. I got a little scared.
Sung it almost. Yeah. You're like, oh, I don't know if I'm saying this right. I'll sing it.
Listen, if you're going to go for stuff, you got to go for it. If somebody hands you mushrooms, you eat those
mushrooms. Or what you can do is practice your accent a second before you start the podcast instead of just guessing. Like I do.
Nice. So we're going to be talking about the latest episode. We'll give you guys a recap as well as the episode. All right, Pete.
We got a recap. And then we're going to cap it with a cap.
But once again, great episode of the show.
Oh, my God.
This is so good.
This show is so much fun.
Oh, it really is. It really, really is. And I know this is getting a little repetitive, but this is an arc straight out of the comic books, down to specific frames and the way that they put stuff together, and even the animation style for a lot of the things. But again, I really feel like it's surpassing the comic book at this point, at least.
Oh, wow.
And just shows that do episodes like this, like Drug Trip episodes, this like did it in such a more creative, smarter, more unique way that I thought this episode was really great.
Yeah. Now, let's get into it. A bunch of different characters, as we just mentioned, are going on a road trip this episode. They include Marcus, who is new to the King's Dominion School. He has a flirtation with two girls in the school.
Maria. Oh, that's going to really bite him in the ass.
Oh, man. Maria and Saya. Yeah. Maria is dating Chico, who is the head of the Sotavatos, a gang.
Super nice guy.
Awful guy.
He's just like the store Chico.
Right. And Maria is trying to escape. She got a passport from Willie last episode. Willie is also along with them. He is a friend of Marcus's. He is also, as Marcus knows, but nobody else knows, a coward. He is
a pacifist.
He is
real editorial,
he's
Alex.
He's a fucking coward.
Wow, God.
No, he's a pacifist, Alex.
All right.
Wow.
Just a choice.
People, that's all I'm saying.
It's a choice, all right? Take it easy, guy.
Whatever, man.
Get back to the recap.
Come on!
Put your finger down.
Put
that finger away.
You guys can hear me pointing a finger at it.
That finger's loaded.
Okay. Oh, jeez. So Willie is along for the ride. Also along the ride, Billy, who really likes Petra. She doesn't really come into play this episode.
No, she's not on the road trip.
Yeah, she's not on the road trip. I don't even know why I mentioned her, to be honest.
Yeah, why?
But what we did find out last episode is Billy's father is an abusive cop who is probably going to kill his mom, maybe kill his little brother, potentially die at some point. And his brother then will end up at King's Dominion along with Billy, which Billy doesn't want to do. So they're all heading out together on the road to Vegas. The rest of them don't know this, but Marcus and Billy have decided to kill Billy's dad. That's their plan right now. The other thing that you should probably know is there's a dude named Fuckface that it seems like Marcus may have blown up his face a little bit, who is on the trail of Marcus, found out where Marcus last episode. And last thing, there's a guy named Master Lin who runs King's Dominion, played by Benedict Wong. Now, I'm sure there's other things that we'll have to mention as we go on, but the basic thrust of the episode is they're taking the road trip. They stop at a hippie commune. Yes, Pete.
I think you forgot to talk about Saya. You mentioned Maria.
Oh, I did forget to talk about Saya. So Saya likes Marcus and is friends with Maria.
Sort of.
She's
though.
Also like
she just killed her cousin.
She's pledged to Marcus, which means she needs to keep him safe, and whatever happens to him happens to her.
She also has an amazing sword.
Yeah, she has a great sword.
Very cool sword.
Yes, not a euphemism. She actually just has a great sword.
Yeah, that's exactly.
She doesn't have a big old dick.
What the fuck?
Saying she doesn't.
That's
dude.
Why?
Don't make me take out this finger gun.
You don't need to confirm that.
Swear to God.
Yeah, so you were saying they go. It's happening right. in a hippie town where you buy drugs.
Right, they buy drugs there. They end up getting some bunk acid that doesn't get them high, and then they get some other acid from a dude. And Marcus, to prove a point, eats 7 tabs of acid.
Because he's the acid king.
He's the acid king.
He's the acid king.
He goes fucking nuts while he's there, and the entire time he's on an insane drug trip. We have a crazy drug trip going into Vegas. They get to Vegas. He does not come down the entire time. We should also mention most of this seems to be in flashback. It keeps cutting back to Marcus with blood on his hands in front of a cop.
Yeah.
Eventually,
tripping his face off.
What we find out is that not only is Chico trailing them there, and Fuckface is also trailing them there, but they're next door to the dad. They're in the hotel room next door.
Yeah.
Billy goes over to try and kill his dad. He's not very successful at it. Marcus comes over. Basically accidentally kills his dad.
Yeah, because he's stripping
his
face off.
They get rid of the body, go down to the lobby. He gets arrested. Master Lin shows up, except it's actually a hallucination caused by acid. And then Marcus starts to hook up with Maria until Chico shows up and almost kills him.
Yeah.
Chico stabs Billy, dares Willie to kill him, and then... Eventually, Maria actually slices Chico's neck
with
and they
her
all escape.
Special blade.
And we end with Fuckface looking over Chico's dead body.
Yeah. And they're driving down
so
the road.
So we knew because there was a part where I wasn't sure if Fuckface was really there, if it was just a hallucination trip thing.
Yeah. No, no, no,
but it turns out we get confirmed at the end that he was really
there.
Right, exactly. And at the end, it seems like Marcus is together with Maria. Saya doesn't seem particularly happy about that.
Not happy.
As we're
so
driving down
heartbreaking.
The road. So big changes, big shifts in the dynamic.
So
and the
upset
other thing you should probably
it.
Know is King's Dominion students are not allowed to kill each other, as they mentioned Chico, except Maria has done that. So now they have a huge secret as they're headed back to school.
That also, was such a good moment when we realized they can't kill each other.
Yeah.
Maybe they'd said that before, but I definitely missed it. And that was cool.
Also, I'd like to point out that Neon Clown was right. If you take that many tabs of acid, your system will shut down and you will die.
Yeah.
So unlike Marcus... you can't get away with that. That's way too much.
Well, that's the thing about it. It's deadly class, so they're going to teach you something in the episode. I thought I was actually about to put 7 tabs of acid in my mouth when I was watching the episode, and I stopped.
That's good.
Wow.
That's
good. You've come close a lot to getting that in your mouth.
Yeah, 6 has been my max so far.
Yeah.
I don't think you can survive with 6 either.
I love eating acid.
Yeah.
I don't think you've ever eaten that.
He's tripping. He's tasty. He likes taste. He hates the psychedelic effects.
Yeah.
Good taste. Go. Mm. It's like a paper. Stamp. He's glove stamped.
I like to put it in a bowl with some rice and a little Cholula.
Yeah. Have you, oh my God. Have you read his acid cookbook? It's great. It's really hard to find because it's the cops are after him.
Yes. So let's talk through the big points of the episode. And there were so many amazing things that happened over the course of this hour. What particularly jumped out to you guys?
Oh, man. I mean, there's so much. It's just such a fun, because you're like, okay, here we're going to go on a road trip, but they're doing a bunch of drugs. And I think it's handled in such a fun, also kind of dangerous way that doesn't seem like we've seen that happen a lot in movies and television. But they did it, like you said, in such a creative, fun way. That it was just like such a additional, like, how is Marcus going to be tripping his face off and also try to defend, all these people and save lives and stuff like that. So it was a great kind of like turning it up, even though it's already at 11.
Yeah. I love the way they set the relationships of this sort of core team in this episode and then sort of spin them out of control as the episode goes on. Like, we see at the top that Chico's pursuing them. We see he has a gun and a little classic red circle x-ray, which I thought was cool. Very Pulp Fiction.
I'll also mention about the team, and I don't know if you were just about to get to this, but right at the top of the episode, after we get the scene with Marcus looking at his hands and Master Lin there and everything like that. Once we're on the road, my immediate question is, why are they all together? You know, I mean, I know it's a TV show. I know this is our core cast. That's why they're in the car.
Yeah, they were all actors hired to play those roles.
Yes, exactly.
That's why they're there.
Yeah.
That's why they're there.
Well, but seriously, I mean, that's what I'm thinking. It's like, it feels kind of forced that they would all go on the road together.
Yeah.
But then, very quickly, they did a very good job of explaining why everybody was there and how it was a cascade effect of them heading on the road. And ultimately, I think particularly for, it's clear why Billy and Marcus are there, right?
Yeah. Because, well, Billy needs Marcus to help him kill his dad.
Right.
And I think Willie needs Marcus because Marcus has his secret and is sort of his protector in a way.
Right. Maria is trying to escape.
Yep.
Yep.
And Saya is pledged to Marcus.
Yeah.
So they all have these secret reasons for being there that are all tied to Marcus. And that worked really well. Like they yeah. have a very efficient way once they get to the hippie hideaway of establishing that and explaining that in the text without us having to go through, hey, do you want to go to this thing? Here's my secret motivation yeah. for it or anything like
yeah.
that. You know?
Willie being like, well, I have to go because you killed that guy and right. then I'm getting in trouble for it.
Yeah.
Couple things I want to say real quick. Like, first off, like sometimes when you see actors pretending to be wasted, it's painful. This, I think they did an amazing job of like acting wasted, and I really appreciated the attention to detail to a lot yeah. of it.
I agree. As somebody who does acid a lot, I felt like this was very true to the experience. No, I agree with you, though. Like, I think even when people act drunk, they're always like, oh, I'm so drunk yeah. right now. And it doesn't feel real at all. They did a good job of, if last episode was Breakfast Club, this episode being Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, yeah.
and
they
you got,
nailed it.
Yeah, I mean, when they get there, you Hunter S. Thompson shout yeah, out. I also that. Love all the pop culture references. Like, you got Ghostbusters shout out. You got Teddy Ruxpin. Yeah, it was just Slimer. It was really, really awesome. Ice-T. It was his real voice. They had Ice-T in
yeah,
here.
Yeah, that was wild. They got Ice-T to do the voice of a slot machine, yes. an Ice-T slot machine. That yeah. was awesome.
Yeah, it was really great. It was so much fun.
I feel like they do such a good job of capturing how your mind works when you're on yes. drugs like that, because yes. you just drift and you hit on stuff that's just yeah. in your memory. That's why, like... Like you're saying, the neon clown, and then the neon clown comes back. So it's yeah. like, that's fucked up. Fuck. Yeah. I don't want to remember that. But then it's like, I'm here.
Yeah,
bye.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like you're saying, Slimer pops in randomly. There's a scene that takes place inside of an 80s television show, which yeah. I thought was cool. It reminded me, there's a shot that reminded me of Run Lola Run, the movie as well, when they're laying in the bed all in red light. Mm-hmm. Like, it just, the genre changes, jumping across a couple different things, and the animation styles
yeah.
changing as Marcus's trip goes from, like, good and fun to, like, fucked up and bad, yeah. and just toggling between those two, I thought it was just so smartly done. I feel like Rick Remender may have done some acid.
Yeah, I think, like, he yes. definitely has. Yeah, also, possibly. The part where Willie's talking to a pole.
Yeah.
I mean, that's spot on.
Yeah. I have a weird kind of question for you guys just on the acting and everything looking right way.
Is it, do you guys want to buy acid?
Yeah.
Is that your question?
How much? How much?
It's not a weird question. You ask us every time we meet.
Yeah. Yeah. Every podcast we do.
Yeah.
I have this creepy clown acid that's just burning a hole in my pocket.
Literally.
Almost literally.
Yeah.
How did they do Marcus's eyes, do you think? Because his eyes were fucking bloodshot.
Oh, yeah. That's show. Also very realistic.
Yeah.
Not that. That's not the way they were
that
like.
That was insanely
well, but
bloodshot.
Like someone who takes too much and has been up for way too long, that's yeah. exactly
I
what your eyes look like.
I just couldn't tell if that was like full contacts or that was digital or what
I
was
think
going
it was contacts.
I think yeah. it was a
real nightmare to do it digitally.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I
well,
feel like
either it, way, right?
Well, the contacts, you just put them in. They'd have to have him specially made digitally because he's moving his head so much. It would yeah, you'd have to go frame by frame and yeah. paint all that shit in.
Yeah. Well, I'll say, do you watch Star Trek Discovery?
Yeah.
Okay. Saru's eyes, that's Doug Jones' character, for yeah. those of you who watch Star Trek Discovery. The first two episodes, he wore contacts, and they hurt his eyes so much that they took him out after that, and every episode after the first two episodes are digital eyes.
Wow.
Which
what a
is
pain.
Yeah, exactly. It's insane. But I just wonder for like a sci-fi show, granted, they seem to have a pretty big budget for this particular episode.
Yeah.
It was such a weird specific detail that jumped out at me, but I was just curious.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good
how they hit that.
It was very noticeable.
Yeah.
I also like the way when Marcus gets busted, not for murdering a dude or yeah. for doing all those drugs, for winning at gambling
yeah,
and being underage
not, yeah,
and with a fake ID.
And the fact that I was like, because at first you were like, oh my God, they're in so much trouble. And then you realize, oh, slowly it's not.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it's like, well, we're just going to take the money, which – makes sense.
Yeah, make crooked cops. Yeah, I love the way they did that scene, too, where the cop keeps changing sizes and everything. Oh, very cool.
So great. Cool. That's they used those effects in Lord of the Rings because everybody was not actually hobbits and giants.
No, well, there were a couple of those people that are hobbit actors.
A bunch of them. Elijah Wood is.
Yeah, that guy.
But the rest of them were not.
He's had a great, because he started off in Hobbit movies and became famous there and then jumped over to real movies.
Yeah, he did The Good Hobbit. He did. That's literally the only movie I can remember.
Yeah. Was the one in Maine? Was he in that one?
Also, The Good Hobbit.
Yeah, we're good at this.
I wanted to call out Billy in particular, the actor who played Billy. Yeah. Now, we talked about last episode, that incredible monologue to Marcus that he gave. So emotional, so well done. And he started this character, just this laughing, devil-may-care punk dude.
A goof.
Yeah, a goof in the first couple of episodes. Took a huge turn last episode. His scene after he kills his dad was so raw and so real. The way that he just breaks down and cries, that to me felt more real than almost anything else in the episode.
Well, it was amazing, but it was also driving me nuts because I was like, it's a fucking dead body. There's no time to cry. You've got to get your plan going.
Well, that's what Marcus does. Like, that's Marcus's purpose there.
Right.
But Billy's reaction, he's the one who instigates it, right? He says, we're going to drive down to
also,
Vegas.
Also, I liked his whole beforehand, like, talking about his dad a little bit good. Like, he was really fighting with it right
exactly,
up until the end.
And that's so what that sets up that reaction. But he goes into the room. He grabs him in the back. They do the deed. They kill his dad. And he realizes what he's done, what he's lost, what's going to happen next, what the repercussions are. And you see him go through all of these emotions.
And there's some relief, there's relief in there.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah. It's great.
The amount of characters in television that die from hitting their head as they're falling down by accident is insane.
Yeah.
It's like the number two cause of death.
I constantly worry about that because of television.
Mm-hmm. I'm more worried about hitting my eye on something rather than my head.
Weird.
I have a fear, like when I walk past a table that's too pointy, I feel like I'm going to trip and fall and it just hit my eye.
Oh my God, that's so specific.
I know, it's a weird thing because I'm not scared of a lot of things, but that's one of them.
Not dying, but I do constantly worry about bonking my head on things.
Bonking.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound very bad.
No, but you know,
sounds
when you,
like a fun video game.
Stand
thing.
Up into a cabinet door that you've left open or something like that. So I've been hyper aware for that for years. I want to say I haven't bonked my head in probably a decade at this point.
Oh man.
Bonk. You're like a
knock
Mr.
on wood,
Bean.
Dude. You just jinxed yourself.
I will say, before that, though, one time, like a living cartoon, I literally walked into a board while I was walking along the street one time.
A board? Like a,
this
like a construction
dude was
order.
Carrying a long board behind his shoulders.
Now, Alex, you were in a silent film.
It felt like that because it was like a 5 feet long board that he was carrying over his shoulders. And he swung it around, and it smacked me right in the forehead, and it made a bong sound.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And that's you.
I mean,
did
party laugh a little bit?
There were a bunch of birds flying around my head.
It was
fucking nuts, man.
That's wild. One, when I was working construction when I was much younger, I was working on a concrete team, and you pour it in wooden forms, and then it hardens, and I was stripping the form with a crowbar, hot day. Mm-hmm. The nail head bends, and the crowbar went right up and bashed me right above my eye.
Oh.
And if it had gone in my eye, I would not have an eye. Oh. So I think that's why I fear.
Oh, that's probably what it is.
Pete, what are you afraid of? What's your greatest fear, Pete?
Yeah, greatest injury-based fear.
I don't know, man. Like, I'm scared of heights. I don't know what to say here.
What's the cool story about that? Just climbed a ladder one day.
You were in a building.
Yeah.
Well, one time we went on vacation, and like one of the highlights was there was this light tower that we could go and you see. But the thing was, the light tower had just like grates, so you could see like all the way. And it was this thing like we hiked all the way to this
lighthouse.
That's what I'm trying to think of. Yeah, lighthouse. And it was like, you know, a couple people turned away because they were scared of heights, and I was like, no. And it was painful, but I made it to the top. But it was.
Then you were like, this is a nightmare.
Yeah, it was a complete nightmare.
I climbed a lighthouse once too, and I was like, oh, this is horrible.
Yeah.
Also, I went in a hot air balloon, and I was like,
it's
a fucking wicker basket. Why is anyone doing
this? I did that with my ex at the time because I thought it would be romantic.
Wait,
I was
were you
scared.
Already exes?
Your ex at the time.
Oh.
Well, my ex now, but
your current ex.
Oh, okay, yeah. I wasn't sure if she you got up in the Hot Air Balloon. She's like, yeah. I'll bring it up.
It would have been cheaper if it happened
yeah.
then.
Yeah,
but yeah, that was a nightmare.
Not my favorite.
So you're saying I should try that
Hot Air Balloon?
Yeah.
Are you scared of heights?
Oh yeah.
Oh. Don't.
Oh, I have vertigo.
God, don't do it. Because truly, hot air balloons are. I'm not crazy scared of heights. Like I've gone skydiving and was fine with that.
What?
But hot air balloon was way worse because you're not strapped to anything, and it's like this is a fucking basket. Baskets break when Easter eggs are in them. Yeah, let alone humans whose lives depend on it.
Yeah, it's a basket.
Cool. But, that sounds horrible.
Yeah, they do this cool thing where
with like fire. You're on that thing. It's just like
there's fire there. Also, they're like, oh, we don't know where we're gonna land.
Yeah,
you just land wherever, and then they carry a bottle of champagne to give to the people's property you land on to be like, hey, sorry, we're here now.
Now, not to break into our hot air balloon podcast to talk about deadly class or anything like that, but the fight between Chico and Marcus was so brutal.
Yeah.
And I've never thought this about the main character of a show. I honestly thought at points that maybe Marcus would die.
Yep.
Yeah. It was also Chico killing the store owner. Like the whole thing was
Because they were
brutal,
rattling on the streets. But I was like, if they were really in Vegas, there was no way that fight gets 2 feet without, you know.
Well, this is '80s Vegas.
Yeah. Right. It's '80s Vegas. It's probably, it seemed like a downtown-y type club, probably a kind of off of the strip. And for those of you who didn't see it, Chico basically smashes Marcus into a convenience store. Mm-hmm. They trash the whole place. As Justin mentioned, Chico kills the store owner in cold blood before they burst out into the alleyway. Where Chico proceeds to almost kill Marcus. The whole sequence, so tense, so well filmed. Good.
Also, I love the Donahue references. That was made I was like, oh my God, Donahue, that's right.
Yeah.
Remember him.
Yeah, that was an interesting turn going from, man, that was a brutal sequence, to I love Phil Donahue.
Phil Donahue, the original talk show king.
Yep. Yes. Now, what do you think is going on with the Maria Saya Marcus relationship at this point?
That's what I call a classic love triangle.
Ooh.
Also, heartbreaking, like he's making the wrong choice. Maria is not the one for him. Really? Saya is clearly the one he should be with. Saya really cares about him.
Why?
Maria is just using him.
No, well, I don't know. Maria is cool.
What?
Saya seems like she is up to, she's working. We don't know exactly what her deal is.
What are you talking about?
I guess we don't know what anyone's deal is, but I don't know. It just feels like Maria's like, doesn't seem like she's the most committed to him, but she's like, I don't know, let's just make out.
I will say my feelings on both relationships are definitely colored by knowing what's coming up in the comic book.
Yeah.
But just based on this episode, I would say at the very least that I'm agreeing with Justin, just because I think what I get from Lana Condor's performance, I'm a coward. I'll fucking shoot you with my finger.
You don't point that finger gun at me.
No, I'll shoot you with my finger.
Pacifist.
What I'm getting from Lana Condor's performance right now is that I think Saya likes Marcus more than she thinks she does.
Yes.
Is what's
going on. And
that's
super clear, you asshole. She's the one who cares about him.
Well, but she's going to have to express that if she wants to make it real.
And I think Maria
is comfortable expressing it.
Yes, Maria is the steady relationship.
That doesn't mean she deserves to have Marcus.
I think Maria is the steady relationship. Saya is the dangerous relationship.
Fuck that.
Yeah. No. Why is Marcus such a prize, Pete?
He's not.
Okay.
But this is where they are, and this is what they have to choose from.
Jesus.
And the purest love is between Saya and Marcus.
What are you basing that on?
The things that we know about the characters and the things that we've seen. She is driving. She's the one who has her shit together enough to drive home, and that sacrifice cost her her love.
This is a classic Betty versus Veronica, and Pete is just doing the Betty thing. You're just...
She's the Betty? No, Maria's the Betty.
No, Maria's the Veronica.
No, she's not. What are you talking about?
Yeah. She is the Veronica.
Yeah. No, she's not the Veronica. Saya is the Veronica. No,
I don't think so.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Why are you guys saying that Maria is the Veronica? Because she's rich?
No, because she's a little bit more like, I do what I want.
Yeah.
Let's make out now. I'm not thinking about it. While Saya is much more like, a little more guarded with her feelings. Bit,
yeah,
very like she's a planner.
Cars,
she fixes
mystery.
Cars. Yeah. She's blonde, obviously.
All right.
Doing coke in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah. Classic Betty. Yeah.
Classic Betty.
But when she's
Coke Betty,
when she has to adjust the mirror because she can't take it, my fucking heart broke.
Yeah. Jeez, Pete, we get it.
Yeah. Anything else you want to call out from the episode?
Anything Rick Remender is killing this, man. It's
really
fantastic.
This series is a bad way of saying it, but it's so much better than it could have been that I think there's a way of doing it where it was like, fun assassin school. This is immediately getting so much deeper, so much more complicated.
Yeah.
It is going for things, and it's really hitting the pedal to metal in terms of what's going on with the plot. It's wasting no time. I can't believe that they killed off Chico already. I'm so happy
about that.
Well, but they've still got all of these other enemies in the background, so there's still so much danger there. But it's crazy that, like, you expect the school bully to be around the entire series. He's gone now. That changes everything.
It makes room for the pig fucker to come in as the big baddie.
Well, that's what I was going to say. We should talk about him being in the elevator. There's a great line that I want to call out. What you don't focus on will come true. And
oh, my God, right? That was really cool. Deep in the middle of all that madness.
And that's right before Melty Face shows up. And he basically says, funny, I'm here. I'm going to kill you, but not right now.
Yeah.
I didn't love that, to be honest.
I agree, because it's like,
no,
that's not how revenge works.
Yeah, but I also liked it because it's like, Marcus won't remember that he saw him, because Marcus was tripping his face off, so he doesn't know if that's real or not.
Yeah, but Melty Face doesn't know that he's tripping, and like he...
Of course he does. That's the fun of it.
It felt like that was one of the things that felt like a very typical construction...
Yeah, it felt plotty.
Yeah, exactly. It felt plotty. And I feel like almost the way around that, I expected, based on what happened last episode, he'd find out where King's Dominion is, get to King's Dominion, and they're not there. They're in Vegas. That, to me, felt like his very simple plot way around that thing. Instead of sending him to Vegas and be like, I see you, but not yet. Not yet, Bond.
Then it makes sense that he shows up and just sees Chico's body. If they lost that scene in the elevator altogether, then that's cool.
Yeah, also, he gets to talk about, you kind of really get to see that the pig fucker is crazy because he cares more about Donahue than he does anything else.
That's just like you, though.
What? Yeah, you also care about Donahue.
You love Donahue.
You love him.
Donahue is your Betty.
No, it's not. You just said that.
Donahue is your Sia.
You are literally wearing a shirt that says, can't get my fill right now.
Oh, my God. No, I'm not.
Makes a lot of sense.
What the fuck?
It's a handmade t-shirt. Can't get my fill.
Hey, I've made my share of t-shirts, okay?
But I have not all made Donahue.
I made a Phil Donahue t-shirt.
Yes. I'm looking at one right now. I've seen your other ones. You have a closet.
Whatever, you have a Pac-Man shirt on. Don't fucking judge my shirts, man.
Wow, good call, Pete.
By the way, if you are interested in Pete's handmade t-shirts, you can check them out. The company is called Donahue.
I think we should add a Donahue t-shirt, I can't get my fill, to our t-shirt stack.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Comicbookclub.threadless.com.
Yep.
All right. I'll stay up all night and decide when to put it up.
Cool. I can't get my fill. I'm going to buy that shirt. I'll tell you what. You got one sale right here. I'm buying.
I just am really impressed with the way the show is like building momentum and having the characters move forward in such a creative, cool way. It's really awesome, and it's a hell of a ride.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a hell of a trip.
All right. Yeah. Before we wrap up superlatives for this episode, as we always end, we're going to do superlatives for this episode for the cast, even though they're out of school. So what do we got this episode? I'll do most likely to eat way too much acid. That would be Marcus.
Okay.
Yeah. I did like that bit.
A lot of just recounting the plot.
That bit where he was like, I'm not the acid king. That was hysterical.
One particular visual that I really liked was him lying on the carpet and the carpet flowing around him acid king.
That's real cool. That's real.
Class clown is the neon clown. Because he's fun. He's fun and funny and not scary.
Fucking scary at all.
Yeah.
I guess most likely to do coke in the bathroom is going to be...
You're so just like, I don't know. Most likely to be on Deadly Class. All these fucking characters. I don't give a fuck. That thing. Most likely to have a sword. Well, the one with the sword. Most likely to be dead.
Most likely to give up.
Chico, I guess.
Me.
Yeah.
Most likely.
Yeah.
Most likely to die. Chico.
Thank God neither of you guys were on yearbook committee because you would have ruined high school.
I was for a year and then I gave it up.
I also hated
it. Wow, very fitting.
I really hated it.
I was most likely to quit yearbook.
See, that makes sense. Mostly to quit yearbook would be Chico because he's dead.
Oh, that's not quitting. That's not how you quit.
It is how they're going to look at it.
Yeah. It's a forced quitting, as it were.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for listening, guys. If you'd like to support us, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater Loft in New York. Come on by. We'll chat about a deadly class. Beat. What do you want
to friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on the live show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and more. Also at Catch Deadly on Twitter for deadly class tweets. And don't forget to turn in your permission slips.
Oh, everybody in your hot air balloons!